All right, class. As I promised I would, we're going to continue in this same. I didn't get too far. At least we got through the scriptures, because I ended up reading the whole 12th chapter of Numbers. But there are some notes that we need to go through so we can put some things together, and so we can personalize these things in this section of scripture. Now, I might repeat some things because I've studied the lesson many, many times. You know, sometimes I think I can almost just go straight down the line with it. But there are some good notes here that help us. Now, we know what happened last week, and I went through the whole 12th chapter. We talk about Miriam and Aaron rebelling against Moses, and how Moses handled it. Moses cried before God to heal them out. Moses stood between Aaron and Miriam and God and became an intercessor. He became an intercessor before them. And so he interceded that God would heal him. God said, I will, but you're going to go through some consequences of our action. And so I'm going to give us 7 days without the camp, because that was lepers. Lepers had to separate themselves. But God gave a particular time zone of 7 days. He said, after 7 days, we're going to move on again. But here's some points I need to bring out, Claire, so we can make notes of these things and so we can understand these things. Now, point number one is, I'm not going to bother, reading the scriptures all over again, but they're going to be incorporated in these notes here. So number one is to speak against representative authority incurs divine wrath. You see it? Now. As I said before last week, that it seemed like a small thing that Miriam said, but it wasn't what so much the smallness of the matter. The thing was, she spoke against authority, representative authority. And it shows us the severity of what God thinks about what we think. It knows what I say. It shows us severity about what God thinks about what we think in our feeling toward authority in when we come to our worries, because God understands words only are outlets of the heart. Words only speak what within the heart. Jesus said in Matthew, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So the heart, it incubates good things, and it can also reveal the evil that and corruption that in the person's heart. See, right here, it's this heart is not talking about your spirit. They're talking about your soul, some things, some wounds in your soul that need to be corrected and cleaned up. So I don't want you to think we're talking about your spirit here. Because there's no, in a Christian, there's no rebellion in your spirit. No, your spirit is in the image of God. All our problem is in our soul. You see it? So our soul still carries a lot of memory, a lot of misunderstanding. Even though you may have been hurt, a lot of pain. And so it's in that part of the heart, in the soul, that you deal with a lot of things, and that's where the corruption lies. You see, in your mind. And so God is concerned about what thoughts that you have in your mind. But still incur divine wrath. Now let me tell you this. Now that wrath of God, the correction of God, it's not designed to destroy you. It's designed to get your heart in a position of repentance. Remember, I said that. Whenever you correct it, it's because God loves you. Now, when my kids were little, I didn't enjoy correcting them when they made a mistake, but it served as a mark for them of their disobedience. and they have to connect the two, connect the dotted line. I'm correct because I did this. You know, my mom usually used to do all the correction. My dad work all this. My dad was a hard worker. And I'm trying to put something in the point here. And we would do certain things. And one instant, my brother Donald and I, we were right next to each other. We were little. I want to say 12, 13 years old. We live on the farm, and right connected to. It wasn't our farm. I wish it was. But my daddy worked on another man's farm. But right behind our home was the pasture where they kept the cattle. So we were adjacent to the farm. And so we would go into the field and run behind the cows. And sometimes we would see, in Louisiana, we had what they call swamps. And we would, and the field would run all the way to the swamps. And we would run those cows all the way with sticks and throwing rock. We did some mischievous stuff growing up. And we got back home and my mom knew what we had done. And so she said, wait till your daddy come home. Boy, you know, we had fear for our dad. Reverential fear, because my dad spoke once, not twice, and not three times like we do today. You know, he believed in speaking once. And if you didn't hear him that one time, you a sad, sad sack of salt. You wish you had. You see? And so she waits till my dad come home. Well, my dad told us as we got older, men and women with children of our own, he said, your mom used to wait till I come home and tell her what y'all had done. He said, but I couldn't whip y'all, not knowing what I'm whipping you for. What you're saying is, he said, I couldn't connect the punishment to the crime. I couldn't put the two together. So I say this. So sometimes when correction made, you must know what the correction is for. So you'll know what you're being corrected for. So it has to be done at that time that the sin, rebellion, or here's the word, or at that time the act was performed. So even with your children, so they'll know and be able to connect the dots, what they're being corrected for. And that's the problem my daddy had. He said, I couldn't do it if I don't know what I'm doing it for. Your mama told me this, but it wasn't like I was present when it happened. You know, I don't feel right spanking you over for something like that. You know, in the corners of the moment. So, God has to deal with it. I know I take time with it because there's so much in these statements. So, speaking against representative authority occurs divine wrath. Now, statement number two. Aaron and Miriam was elder brothers and sisters to Moses. Thus, in a home, Moses should be subject to their authority. Now, what that saying? Now, when it comes to issues concerning the home, the brothers and sister relationship, then you become equal. You become equal. Moses is still a brother and sister. You know, family dinners, you know. Aaron can say, Moses, that's my seat you're sitting in, because we're in the family dinner, family setting. But Miriam touched upon the work of God. And that put it in a whole nother order. It touched upon God's business. This wasn't family business. This was God's business. So spiritual things, there's a line that is drawn in the sand. And Miriam crossed that line that she shouldn't have crossed by touching upon the work of God with Moses. That's why God dealt with it. So he had to separate Moses from his family in the aspect of his authority and his work. You see it? But in the calling of God and the work of God, they ought to be subject themselves to Moses' authority. You see, and that's what I was saying. They were not happy with the Ethiopian woman whom Moses had married. So they spoke against Moses by saying, "Had Jehovah indeed spoken only by Moses? Had he not spoken by us?" And then he go on and explain what the Ethiopian woman is and so forth. God had entrusted his delegated authority in the work of Moses. How wrong it was for Aaron and Miriam to attack Moses' position on the basis of a family reason. You see, they had no authority over that. That was God's business. It was God who had chosen Moses to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt. Nevertheless, and I'm going to say this, and it was God had chosen Moses or chosen Ethiopian woman for Moses to marry. I really believe that. I really believe that God had to have a certain person for Moses to marry to get to his plan. If God hadn't met his wife, he never would have served Jethro. He never would have tended those sheep. He never would have brought the sheep on the backside of the mountain in the mountain, and he never would have saw the glory of God. So it all in God's purpose and God's plan. You see it? I hear apostles say he had to marry the woman he married. You see it? God had his wife set aside for him. It takes a special woman to be a leader's wife. God knows these things. And you know, people don't quite understand all of these things. You know, in the natural family, when it comes to family, you might not quite understand certain things, but it spiritually makes sense. It spiritually makes sense. It's all in the plan and will of God. We don't have to understand it all. We got to learn to flow with certain things. Miriam, Aaron's job was to flow with Moses. And not to make no correction. God said, "I know what I'm doing. Yeah, I have it all worked out." All right, Clap? Now, the trouble was that neither Aaron nor Miriam recognized God's authority. And that's what I was saying. They were too familiar with Moses and didn't have a chance to recognize or didn't put themselves in a position to recognize God's authority. They couldn't see beyond the flesh connection that Moses and Aaron had and Miriam had. They couldn't see that. They couldn't see past that. Moses did not answer back. Now I know what he did. Moses did not answer back. He knew that he had been set up by God to be authority. He need not defend himself. Now, I can park right here, but, you know, this is a leader's statement here. You don't have to defend your position when you know what God has already told you or called you to do. You don't have to defend yourself. Now, this might be off base a little bit, what I'm saying. We were leaving our church yesterday, and my wife had to go somewhere, and I always grab her Bible. I grab a Bible and I take it to the car, but she was gonna meet me at the car later. But and I said, "Want me to take your purse?" She said, "You want to take my purse?" I said, "I know who I am. I don't have to prove who I am. I know I don't have a problem carrying a woman's purse because I know who I am." So, my point is, I don't have. It's for man's somebody see me carrying a purse, I don't have to defend myself. They say, oh, this is my white purse. No, I know who I am. So I know it might not make much sense to you, but when you're in authority, you don't have to defend yourself. When you know that God has called you to do certain things. Same thing with Moses here. I don't have an identity crisis. As an authority, you don't have to have an identity crisis of who you are. As long as you know God put his hand on you, God called you. You don't have to say, I'm the leader here. I'm the chief. I'm the authority here. No, you don't have to identify yourself. God already identified you. Just be who God called you to be. And then that keep you humble and not lifted up in pride. Because the Bible says that Moses was the most meekest man on the face of the earth. God knew it. So God could entrust him with this leadership of authority. Now, I live around church. I live around in the community where there's local pastors. Some of them had problems tending to 20 people. 20 people got them scratching their head. Moses had 2.5 million people. That got one man. 2.5 million people. You know, you have to have some humility to walk in that position of authority that Moses walked in. God had to entrust him with something about Moses that God knew he needed, certain character that Moses had, certain understanding that Moses had to be able to lead these people out of Egypt. You see, Moses had to be the type of person knowing that he couldn't do it. You see it? Knowing that, I hear pastors say, Lord, if you're not with me, I fall flat on my face. Knowing that you can't do anything off your own. And that's one of the characteristics of authority. Moses was a man that God trusted. Now, whoever reviled Moses, touched death. So long as God gave him authority, he could remain silent. See, God gave it to him. He don't have to defend. He don't have to defend himself, nor the position of God, nor pull out all kind of credential and keep rehearsing. God called me. I know he called me, and you can't tell me I ain't called. And no, you don't have to say anything. God becomes your witness. Oh, when God becomes your witness, Moses was able to represent God in authority because he had first been subject to God's authority. For he was very meek, as we just talked about that a minute ago, above all the men who was upon the face of the earth. And that's why God was having his certain characteristic of the divine authority. I think somewhere down the line, if I don't get to it, Claire, please finish reading this book. Because it got credentials for delegated authority, the characteristic that God looked for in delegated authority. I will try to get to it, but I can't promise I will for this year end. But you have to have certain credentials that God acknowledged in you. The authority which Moses represented was God's own. And no one can take away God-given authority. What does that mean? God put himself in Moses. And Moses was representing God himself. You see it? That's the difference. Apostle Thompson represents God himself. You see it? And so we're not subject. And people got to recognize this. We're not subject to a man. And sometimes people go off with that. Subject myself to men. And become men pleasers. With eye service. No, we're subject to the anointing of God upon that man. It's the anointing that puts the authority upon you. If you're subject to a man, you're just going to be subject to human to human side of a person. And that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the two natures, the divine anointing that come upon a person when God places them in a certain authority or a certain role, a position. Listen at this. I said this earlier last week, and because I didn't know if I would get to it, but rebellious words are sent to heaven and are heard by God. And so that's why I say you be careful what you speak. It don't make any difference where you speak it at. Just be careful what you speak. It could be at your dinner table among your husband. And, you know, be careful what you say at your dinner table. Because those words can, God has to judge those words. So, but God, thank God for his mercy and his grace. Thank God. When Aaron and Miriam sinned against Moses, they sinned against the God who was in Moses. That's what I was reflecting, talking about. It's the God that in that person. Moses represents God, and it's God's authority, God's anointing. Is God, God, as God represented authority, Moses was acting, I'm saying a strong word, Moses was acting in God's place. You see? He was God's hands. He was God's feet. He was God's mouth. Moses got to complain, Lord, I can't speak good. And Moses was a very eloquent man. And some people go far to say Moses had a stutter. I don't know about all that. But he said, Aaron, you're going to speak to Aaron. And Aaron going to speak to the people for you. Aaron's going to be your mouth. And I'm gonna be as you're going to be as God to Aaron. I said, whoa. I thought that was something. God told Moses, he going to be as God to Aaron. In other words, you speak my words, and it's going to be just like I'm speaking it. And Aaron going to speak it, you know, to the people. My goodness. My goodness. That's another point of humility. You see? The anger of the Lord was kindled against them. Whenever man touches God's delegated authority, he touches God within that person. Sinning against delegated authority is like sinning against God himself. I'm telling you, class, sometimes we don't understand the seriousness of the matter of this authority and dealing with God. Now, here's 3 points I want to rehearse to you so you can know exactly. It's kind of like highlighting this lesson here. I know I repeated them before, and I'm going to repeat them again. It says, Aaron and Miriam was elder brother and sister to Moses. Thus in the home, Moses should be subject to their authority. Now, I want to stress that point because... You can't force your authority on your family when it comes to family matters as relating to the family. You can't just jerk God's authority and place it everywhere. Well, what I'm trying to say? I'm trying to say something, but I need help saying it. I'm gonna read this one more time here. Listen to them. Aaron and Miriam were elder brothers and sisters to Moses. Thus, in the home, Moses should be subject to their authority. You see, because in God's business, Moses had the rank of God's representative authority. But in Miriam and Aaron's home, in their home, I'm subject to their home. Now, example. Years ago, Well, not many years ago, I'm talking about 30 some odd years ago. I was invited to a man home. He was a minister of the gospel. I mean, it's a long time ago. It just got brought up. I hadn't thought about this in a long time. And they were having a problem in the home. Someone connected them to me some kind of way. They weren't even members of our church yet. And I was invited to their home. And I'm sitting on one side, my wife and I, sitting on one side of their own table in their home. And they were sitting on the other table. We both got our Bible. He had some discrepancies. And they needed, and if somehow, I don't know how I was connected to going there. I don't even remember. And before I started talking to him, the first thing I asked him was, how much authority I got in your home? You see, why did I say that? Because in their home, I had no authority. I only had the authority that they gave me. I just couldn't go in their home and say anything, do anything I wanted, because he could have kicked me out in a second. And so I asked him, how much authority do I have in your home? I didn't really know them. I didn't know them from Joe, from Dick and Joe. He did like this. I guess that's go for it. And so I began to speak to him. They had some marital things and some things in ministry he didn't quite understand. I had learned some things from Apostle, and he didn't quite understand. And the Lord brought clarity to their home. And they became members of our church for a long time. They became good friends of ours afterward. But later on, he told me, he said, man, you came to my home. I couldn't say nothing in my own house. The Lord shut my mouth. I couldn't even speak in my own house. The reason why, because he gave me the authority. You see, authority is a powerful thing. I didn't quite understand it then. And I still don't quite understand everything now. But it's a powerful thing. And so authority has to be respected and yielded to. So class, that's one of the points I want to bring home. So you know that you can't go in another person's home and just take over in their home. That authority has to, they can yield you the authority, but you got to respect them. They say sit here, you sit there. They say do this, you do that. Why? You're not an authority in that home. You're authority in your home, but not in their home. And the second one is Aaron nor Miriam recognized God's authority in Moses. They reviled against him on the basis of human ground. You got to recognize authority before you can subject yourself to it. And so you have to learn to recognize and submit. But you can't submit unless you recognize it. And recognizing authority is a revelation that God got. You got to open your eyes, spiritual eyes, to see. You just got to know. Delegated authority, whom those God represent. All right, Claire? Now, thirdly, rebellious words are sent to heaven and are heard by God. And this last one is, I don't care, Claire. I don't care what you say, how you say it, how nice you might make it sound. If it's still rebellious words, God's going to hear it, and God's going to judge it, and God's going to mark it. They'll mark. The only way you escape out of rebellious words is by repentance. Well, class, this is far as I'm going to go today. You've been a good class, and I'll see you next time. God bless you.